The last straw was almost being raped while sleeping on a park bench. Before that, I was mugged 3 times and followed by some creeps on several occasions. I thought I was tough enough to handle the streets, but thinking about some pervert forcing himself inside me made me swallow my pride and forced me to ask my uncle to stay with him. He was the only family I had left after Mom and Dad had passed away. I promised myself that I wouldn't accept any handouts, so I embraced the cold, merciless New York streets, hoping to find work and accommodation. My minimum wage job was insufficient for me to afford the ridiculously high rent in the most expensive state in the US. Thank God for my gym membership, enabling me to groom myself. I didn't want to go back to Wyoming, but I figured that living in a free, safe environment would enable me to save up a fair amount of money before I made other plans. My uncle opened his front door and smiled at me. I managed to curl my lips, but it took effort. I hugged him, and he rubbed my back. In the dining lounge, he placed chicken schnitzels and a plate of mashed potatoes in front of me. I thanked him and asked about my cousin Tom. He's still at work. Should be home in the next hour or so. Uncle Jerry loved Tom. He would do anything for him. My mom also did everything in her power to give me the best life. She and Dad fought for me their entire lives. If only I had been in a better financial position to get them the best care when they were in ICU after the car accident. I glanced at Uncle Jerry a few times as I ate, wondering why he had been kind to take me in. I remembered that Mom had given him a significant amount of money when he bought the house with my gran. They had split it 50-50 after Mom's money had supplemented Uncle's shortfall of half ownership. I figured he felt he owed me for Mom's generosity, but his kindness had a time limit. So I felt pressured to find work immediately and save up enough to move to another state. I couldn't picture myself living a few years in Wyoming. It just wasn't my vibe. "Hey, Abby," said Tom when he entered, smiling. I stood up, hugged him, and then said, "Wow, look at you. You've grown so much since I saw you last." "Yeah, it's been like, what, 8 years? Something like that." "Welcome, guest," Tom said and then chuckled. My forehead wrinkled for a brief moment before I smiled, finding his label of me odd. I mean, he was right. I was a guest in his house, but his chuckle after calling me that made me believe he was adamant for me to know my place. Perhaps Uncle Tom had used him to do his dirty work for him to remind me that I was welcome for only a certain period. After dinner, we watched a movie. Half an hour into it, Uncle Jerry excused himself to go to bed. I saw Tom yawn a few times, and he couldn't make it to the end. I watched the movie to the end. And it was the final line, "Sometimes family can appear to be something they're not," that kept swirling around my mind as I lay in bed. I couldn't stop thinking about that for the next few days. By the end of the week, I had found a cashier job at a local grocery store. The income filled me with hope for the future and kept me out of the house for most of the week. Even on my day off, I spent it at the park and walking around. The less I was in Uncle Jerry's sight, the less intrusive I felt. A month into my stay, Uncle Jerry asked me to sit with him on the patio. "What are your plans?" he asked. I knew what he meant. Save up some money before I take the next step. "How much and when's the next step?" I looked down and swallowed, feeling the pressure to leave but being unable to. Nothing frustrated me more than being stuck in a situation I didn't want to be in. "Soon. The next step soon. I promise." He nodded while looking away, seeming displeased with my answer. I figured he wanted a definite date, and I wanted to give him one. Nothing would make me happier than being independent. The following day, Tom knocked on my door and walked in. "How's your stay?" "Oh, no. He also wants to know when I'm leaving. Everything's great. I managed to crack a smile. Good, I'm glad. I was wondering if you'd like to come with me to the barn. It's a pool hall. I thought it might be fun and will give us a chance to chat. Sure, sounds great. After we played 3 games of pool, we sat and drank beer. Tom told me how Uncle Jerry wanted to provide the best life for him and would do anything to ensure he had everything he needed for the future. I was envious of him for having someone to look out for him, but I was also glad to have strengthened my character by providing for myself. You're looking good, said Tom. Thanks, that's nice of you. He kept staring at me, making me believe it wasn't just a compliment. The following week, Uncle Jerry asked me again how much longer I was staying. I closed my eyes briefly and sighed under my breath. I wanted to leave, but I couldn't give him a date. I so badly wanted to leave. Lying in bed that night and crying, I thought about the line from the movie. I understood that Uncle Jerry wanted me to leave, but it's not like I was in his way. Something about my presence bothered him, and I had a feeling it had something to do with more than just me visiting. I thought about my grand's portion of the house, and I wondered what happened with that. Funny enough, I had never thought about it before. But being in that house made me think about a lot of things I had never considered. The following day, I went to the recorder of deeds and requested the documents for the house. My heart pounded against my chest, and my mouth slacked open as I saw that I was the co-owner. I asked to speak to the supervisor to get clarity. He told me that I was the next heir in line to half of my grand's portion because Mom had passed away. I kept staring at the document, unable to comprehend the consequences. Everything in that moment had made sense. Uncle Jerry was uncomfortable with me being in the house because he feared me finding out about my house ownership. No wonder he told Tom to refer to me as a guest. I wondered if Tom knew about me being a co-owner. He must have, since Uncle Jerry wanted to ensure his son got everything, even what didn't belong to him. I covered my mouth with my hand and couldn't get over Uncle Jerry's betrayal. After everything my mother and Gran had done for him, the least he could have done was tell me that I co-owned a house. Instead, I had fought for my survival on the streets, thinking I had nowhere to go. At the house, I was sitting in the lounge holding the papers when Uncle Jerry walked in. He greeted me and smiled, but his smile faded quickly as he noticed my clenched jaw. I leapt up and blurted out, "What the hell is this?" He frowned and looked at the papers. "What's what?" "You and I co-own this house." He froze and looked like a massive lump had formed in his throat. "What the hell were you thinking?" I added. "I'm busting my ass on the street because I have nowhere to go, and it turns out that I have a home." He kept looking at me without responding. After some time, I asked, "Have you got nothing to say?" He remained silent. I couldn't believe his audacity. I kept looking at him for some time, then stormed out to my room. My plan was to leave in the morning. I didn't know where I was going, but I had to leave. I couldn't stand to look at Uncle Jerry. Tom was just as bad, but I had different plans for him. I saw from my window Uncle Jerry leaving the house, probably on the way to a bar to drink himself into oblivion and use alcohol to bury his guilt. Tom got home at his usual time. I knocked on his bedroom door and entered. I slipped the coat off me and stood naked, smiling. His eyes and smile broadened as he stood up and walked towards me. His gaze was fixated on my chest. He cupped my tits and squeezed them. His left hand slid over my stomach and down to my vagina. He rubbed my vagina while sucking my tit. I gotta admit that it felt good, even though I resented him. Tom got on his knees, held up my right leg and licked my pussy. I put my hand on his shoulder to remain balanced and then closed my eyes and moaned as his tongue made me wetter. After licking me for several minutes, Tom stood up and said, "Bend over." I bent over his desk, my curvaceous bum sticking out. He ran his hands over it and then up my back. He tapped his dick on my ass, then inserted it into my pussy. I crossed my arms on the desk and rested my forehead on them as he banged me from behind. He spanked my ass several times and sped up the penetration, making me scream. Whenever Tom slowed down, I'd lower my face into my arms, muffling my moans. He ran his left hand down my leg while massaging my right shoulder. I have to admit that was sensual. He knew how to be kinky and romantic at the same time. "Turn around," said Tom. I lay on the desk, my legs wide open. He grabbed my ankles and bent my knees before inserting his dick into me. He swung his hips really quickly, making his dick drill me. My forehead wrinkled and my face flushed as he continued banging me hard. I saw his chest tighten, so I grabbed his pec and squeezed it. Tom raised his chin, opened his mouth wide and groaned as he came inside me. He filled me up with cum. I guess he must have really wanted me. At 4 o'clock the following morning, I sneaked out of the house without anyone seeing me. Just over a year later, my lawyer had sent Uncle Jerry a letter to appear in family court. I had requested from the judge that the house be sold because I couldn't live with them and wasn't benefiting from my ownership. My verdict is that the house is placed on auction immediately and each party receive their share, ruled the judge. I couldn't hold back the smile as I watched the horror on Uncle Jerry's face. He turned to me and said, "Don't think this is the end of this. You might have gotten your share of the house, but I'm going to use my money to bring you down, one way or another." "Your Honor," I said, "I have another issue that needs to be considered, and I feel that now is the appropriate time since we are busy resolving family issues." "Go ahead, Miss Thornton," said the judge. "I have a son, and I'm seeking custody and child support from the father." "Who is the father?" "Tom Waits." Tom and Uncle Jerry's mouths slacked open. My friend brought in my son, and I took out the birth certificate, stating Tom's name as the father. I heard Uncle Jerry ask Tom if I was lying, so I interjected and asked, "Remember our night together?" Tom looked down and nodded. "Are you the father, Mr. Waits?" "I guess I am." He cleared his throat and added, "Yes, Your Honor. I am." "Well, then, I grant Miss Thornton custody, and you have visitation rights. But you are obligated to pay $2,000 monthly to Miss Thornton as child support." "Thank you, Your Honor," I said and then smiled at Uncle Jerry, knowing that he would have to contribute because Tom's salary was insufficient to cover the child support payments. I walked out of the courtroom feeling that I had gotten revenge for the pain Uncle Jerry and Tom had caused me. Pity that Tom will never find out that he's not the father.